Letter number 16722, George Ledger, Reel 1.
Captain Ledger, Reel 1. Captain Ledger, Reel 1. When were you born, Captain Ledger?
I was born on the 20th of August, 21st of August, 1920. And I was born in Birtley, County Durham, number 25, School Street. I moved from 25 School Street to number 30 Hill Street. And from there, I was there until I left school.
What kind of a neighbourhood was Birtley?
Mainly a mining community. Majority of people were miners and allied trades associated with mining, electricians, fitters, blacksmiths, joiners, of which I am a joiner. And that is mainly the type of community I lived in. And it was particularly clear and associated with all the surrounding villages because it was mainly a northeast community, a mining community.
The house you lived in, what size was it?
It was a colliery house. The two houses I've mentioned, the two houses I've been in, were both colliery houses. The first one was a two-bedroomed house. And the second one, where my parents moved into, as the family enlarged, was a three-bedroom house. And we had to move into the larger house. And it belonged to the quarry, and the rent of it was part of your wages for working at the quarry. So you didn't pay rent as such, but a certain amount was deducted from your wages for to pay for the house.
But your father was a miner?
My father was a miner, yes. And I'm one of 13 children. My mother and father had 13 children.
Did they all survive?
Two sets of twins. One set of twins died at childbirth. And the second set of twins died when they were 3 years old. And they both died when they were 3 years old within 3 days of each other. One fell off a haystack in Black's Farm in Birtley, where we used to go and help them make the hay, they stack the hay, and she was killed when she fell from the haystack. 3 days after that, the sister fell down the staircase in the house and was killed at the falling down the staircase. That was 3 days after. Those two girls were killed within 3 days of each other.
Where were you in this family? What number of child?
I'm the fourth eldest, and I have 1, 2, 3 sisters, and the rest are not alive, you know.
It must have been quite difficult with a large family.
Very, very difficult, because in the original house we were in, we had only one bed, which my mother and father used to sleep in, and what they had, they called them shaky downs then in those days. Mattresses placed on the floor for the children to sleep on, 4 or 5 in a bed, you know. And that's the reason why we had to move into a larger house, and that alleviated things a little.
The wage, were you able to live okay, food-wise, clothes-wise?
The living wasn't very, very good. It was very, very hard. The wages weren't very good in those days. But at least it was a living wage as opposed to being unemployed. And the mining community in those days, they seemed to help one another. People who were ill or had lost their work were helped by the next-door neighbours. Next door neighbours, the doors were never locked in those days. And you could just walk in night and day. It was never locked. No thief or anything like that. And the wages, as I said, very, very low. But people just had to live and live to the means, in those days, which they did.
Did your father have anything like an allotment, a big garden?
My father was a keen gardener. He first of all started with an allotment near to the house where we lived, and he was a keen leek grower, and he won the British Legion Leek Club Cup 3 years in succession, which resulted that he was stopped from attending any further competitions because he took the cup for good and had to get a new cup in those days. If you won it in three years in succession, you automatically were awarded the cup. So he became a judge after that, and he used to judge the league clubs. But after the garden, my father was an invalid. Why he was such a gardener, he was an invalid. He had been gassed during the First World War, and he only had one lung. And he had developed TB, tuberculosis. And he had to live outside the house, sleep outside. He wasn't sleeping in the house with us. And he used to sleep in the garden beside his garden. Now I and my mother and I presume my brothers and sisters used to go and take his breakfast down to him in the morning to the garden, pass it through to the... There was no glass in the woodshed. Just like a loof out of windows, you lifted them up and you pushed the plate through for him, woke him up and got him dressed, and then he was ready. That was the allotment when my father was first. And then eventually, as he got himself more widely on with gardening, he was able to take over the tenancy of Birtley Old Hall Garden. The Birtley Old Hall is a very, very large building in Birtley, along near Birtley Golf Club, and the land is still there to this day. The whole of the garden comprised of numerous fruit trees, pears, peaches, cherries, apples, and it was surrounded by a wall 12 foot high. And that wall was heated right way around by a fire, by cast iron pipes, 4-inch cast iron pipes, let into the ground at the footpath. Every footpath was heated, which went around all these fruit trees. Old Hall Birtley was a noble people with, I forget who they are, who they were the lords or what have you. But it was one of those type of houses. And I, as a child, I used to go along there, and we used to help my father to do the garden, a very, very large garden. And it was too large to use a spade and such like with. And my father had made a plough, a handmade plough. And my father used to hold the plough, and his four sons used to pull it in front. And we used to pull it with ropes like this. When my father took it in, we pulled it. And that's how the land was, the old whole garden was cultivated.
Did his tuberculosis get any better?
Never,
living outside?
No. It prevented the spread of that to his family. It never got any better. Eventually, he had a lung taken away from him, and in his latter stages he developed a cancerous growth in his leg, and it sort of went through his body, and eventually he died in the hospital.
He wouldn't be able to work down the mines then for very long, did he?
No, he didn't work down the mines after the war. He was not allowed, his illness being gassed, he couldn't work down the mines. My father, when he returned from the First World War, used to take jobs as watchmen over building sites and such like, and make his living up with the garden produce from these two gardens, the big gardens. In fact, I, as a boy, 12, when I was a 12-year-old, right up till I was 14, 15, and went to serve my apprenticeship. I used to take his produce around to the local shops in Birtley with a barrow and sell them to the greengrocer shops, and they used to buy the leeks and the cabbages and carrots and things which we produced, which helped to eke out our existence. You know, the fathers helped towards it. He was unable to take a job anymore in the pits, and he continued at Vain until such time as the Second World War broke out.
What regiment was he in?
He was in the Durham Light Infantry, as I was in, because it was my father who made me join.
Which battalion was he in?
He was in the 8th Battalion, same as we were in. And when my brothers became of age, I had two elder brothers and myself. I was one of four. Tom was the oldest. He was made to join the DLI, forced to join the DLI by my father. When the other brother, Bob, became of age, he was forced to join the DLI. And when me, George, came to be 18 in 1938, I was forced. I had no option. My father said, they've all been in, you're going in. I had no option. This, in spite of the fact that I disagreed with taking life. You know, I was being a church lad since I was 5 years old, and I joined St. John's Church when I was 8. And I was in St. John's Choir from being 8 years old right after the war started. And I left the choir to go away for 6 years. But anyway, I had to join the 8th Battalion Durham Infantry, and I joined A Company in 1938. And I was had various. It was supposed to be a point of joining the territorial, so you get a fortnight's holiday. That's what the cluster does. But my father knew different. He thought it was good training for his family to be trained if there was anything happened, like what he went through.
We'll come back to that, because that's interesting. It must have been pretty hard life for your mother to have such a large family to have a sick husband.
It was very, very hard for me, for my mother. My mother was, she knew nothing else but just bringing up children and looking after them. She had no time for dancing and things like that. They weren't thought of in those days.
She didn't do any work?
No, she didn't do any work. Didn't work outside. She had her hands full with all us. Such a big family.
How did you cope for clothing, for example? Was it passed down?
A lot of the clothing was passed down. Because of such a big family, you used to grow out of the clothing you had, and it was never given away or thrown away. It was kept to one side until such time as someone had come to use it again.
What games did you get up to as a child?
Well, myself, I used to play cricket. I used to play football regularly. And then I used to play a lot of darts in the house, because darts in those days were just an inside recreation. And I didn't frequent pubs in those days. I never played darts in. Darts, cricket and football was my main. Apart from that, I did quite a lot of swimming. I was always keen on water sports, you know, swimming, and I used to make a lot of rafts and things like that as a joiner and do daft things like that.
How old were you when you started school?
When I started school, I would be 5. I would be 5 years old when I started school, because I didn't attend there were schools for kids who were 4 in those days. But I didn't start in the normal school until I was 5. And I went to the local school in Birtley.
What was the name of it?
It was Raymondith Terrace School in Birtley. And when I was 11 years old, I left that school and went along to Birtley East Senior Mixed School, which was in the north of Birtley, you see, it's still there yet. And I went through that school until I eventually left school at leaving school age.
What was school life like for you?
For me, it was really easy because I'd been used to a crowd in the family, you know. I wasn't lost amongst a lot of children. I could make my own way, you know. I wasn't frightened to be involved with people because I'd been brought up with the amount of family in the family I'd been brought up with, and the way we had been taught to fend for ourselves at home, you know. So school was rather easy for me to go into. The thing I liked about Birtley East Senior School was the fact that I was rather interested in cabinet making. Ever since I was about 10, 11 year old, I used to make crackets and such like, and dolls' houses and sledges and such like. And eventually I set away when I did leave school, I went to serve my time as a joiner. I've been a joiner all my life since.
What was the discipline like in school?
The discipline was very, very severe when we first went. And it was right up to the time I left, actually. There was none of the back-chatting from to the headmasters or your teachers, which are prevalent today. If you cough more than twice or something, who's that, the teacher would say, you know. And then...
Does any teacher stand out in your mind as someone who influenced you at all?
I had one teacher who was very, very influential to me because I was rather interested in artistry, drawing, crayons, painting, and pastel drawings, you know. And I remember one called Mr. Coulthard, who was at Raymond Terrace School, and he set the school on one day to do some pastel drawings, crayon pastel drawings. And I drew, I would be 9 or 10 year old then, and I drew one picture of a rhubarb, a stick of rhubarb with a rhubarb leaf on. And I took a lot of detail, putting the veins and the leaves of the rhubarb in, and coloured it. And the day I left that school to go across, he came across and saw me. He says, you're going away in your school, George? I says, yes, sir. I says, I just want to show you something before you go. And this would be about, nearly 3 years afterwards that I drew that pastel drawing. And he pulled it out. He says, I've got this ready because I knew you would leave me, and I just wanted to show you that I had kept that. Now, funnily enough, about 10 to 15 years after that, that teacher still had that, because he showed me to one day down in Birtley Community Centre when we were on the Operatic Society business, and he was attending it, and he brought it along to show me because he knew I was in the Operatic Society, and I was doing a lot of singing in those days, and he still kept that picture. So that answers your question regarding Mr. Coulthard, the influential person, the teacher in the school. He was one of the most influential. The only other one which was rather, I shouldn't say a nasty thing to talk about, but he was rather strict, a very, very, very strict disciplinarian, and he thought nothing about getting his cane out and bash, bash, bash. And I won't mention his name because it wouldn't do any good. But it was rather severe, and he used to be dreaded for it. And I think he used to stop people from learning the lessons properly when he was starting to worry about in case he got it wrong. You get the stick, you know, get the cane from this chap.
Did you have to qualify yourself in school? Was there examinations?
Yes, we had to take examinations, called them 11 pluses then. And we had to do examinations like that each year.
Your parents didn't find it difficult for you to keep you at school, obviously, with large family and small income?
Well, there wasn't any case of any fees for the school in those days. We didn't pay to go to school. We had to go to school. It was a must. You had to go to school or you got wrong for not being in school. The school board man used to come around. If you were missing, the school board man used to come around and sort you all out, you know, if ever you missed. But in my case, it never happened to me because I was always involved with the church, and the church was involved with the school, and the school was involved vice versa with the church. And I was involved with both, but mainly with the church. I mean, the church has always been my life.
Was the whole family involved with the church?
No. No, I was the only one.
What made you go to church?
The thing that made me go to church, St. John's Church, was the fact that I had a friend who lived beside the church, and he was a secondary educated chap. Eventually, he went to secondary school. We were very good friends, as school children. He passed his exams, and I didn't. And he went to Chesley Street Drama School. Now, he used to go to St. John's Church, and he was in the choir. At that time, my mother had me going to Wesleyan Chapel, the Wesleyan Methodist Church in Birtley. And I asked my mother if I could not change and let me go into St. John's Church with my friend. She says, well, you can go as long as you go somewhere. My mother always said, she says, you must go somewhere, either the chapel or the church. But I was the only one that kept going from my family.
We can deal with this now, actually. Was your religious beliefs obviously strong? Did they see you through the hard times which were to come?
The church has seen me where I am today. That's why I'm here today. I feel through the church. Because there's always someone there looking after you. That's you feel that way. And life is made a lot easier that way because you know there's someone else helping you. You know?
Did you get involved in Boys Brigade?
Yes. Through the church. The Boys Brigade in the church. The Scouts group. And the Cubs. I was a member of all those. And I came in very handy too after I started working and became a joiner. I was always employed building for the Scouts Club and just like, and do building inside the church. I remember when I was 15 year old, I built a lady chapel in St. John's Church to this day. It's not there now, it's been altered, but I built a lady chapel in there with an altar, French polished, an oak stained floor for the altar to stand on, arranged all the seats in it, and I was 15, 16 year old. Yeah.
You obviously liked these organisations, enjoyed them.
Well, I've always been guided that way, I think, just through my church. I've always been guided that way because I like music. I've loved music. And I've played the piano since I was 11 year old. I was taught to play properly by a teacher. At half a crown a lesson, 2 and 6 months a week. When I used to come out of school, Birtley East School, and go down to the teacher who lived beside the school, have an hour's lesson for half a crown, and I used to spend a week practicing that lesson at home. It was before I had a piano at the time.
So there was a music was encouraged in the family?
The music was encouraged in the family from my father. Because my father, being a military man, he was in the army, you know, First World War. He'd always been a military man, and my father loved the band music. And he played the cornet, and he was eventually made secretary of the Houston E. Pitt Colliery Band. And then he was presented with this cornet from Besson and Company. That's the name of the firm who makes them. And he was presented that, my father. Now, when I started taking interest in the piano, my father, who had sent me to the piano lessons to learn the piano, also sent me the lessons to my uncle, a chap called Tom Haddam. He was a Roman Catholic, my uncle. And he was a lovely cornet player. And he used to give me lessons on the cornet. And eventually I myself joined the Ravenloft Colliery Band. and I played in the Reverend Corrie Band from being 14 until I was about 17, 3 years, playing third cornet, which meant tut 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 tut, you know, the harmonising of the main theme of the music, you know. And the funniest part about it, the thing that got me off the cornet, or took me off, was rather disappointing. It was unfortunate, because at that time, I was 11 year old when I was going for lessons for learning the piano. I had to have my lesson, and I had to come home and practice for an hour at what I'd been taught. That went on every day. I was going to my uncle Tom Adams for lessons for the cornet. I was coming back home, going up to a bedroom and practicing on the cornet and having lessons of that, and I wasn't getting outside to play with the other children. So one day, my father sat me down to give me the lessons on the piano. And he always sat beside me, every time. Every night I sat down there, he sat by me. Because he was music, he could read music, my father. And he wanted me to be a musician before I was taught to be one. And he used to bring me more advanced music to his standards than what my teacher was having me. My teacher was doing it properly, you know, but my father wanted me to do something like a large piece of music, which is poet and peasant in those days, you know. And I remember vividly, I was sitting playing the piano, and I started to cry, because outside we had a gas lamp there, and outside the kiddies were running around, playing around the gas lamp, and I could hear them enjoying themselves, and I couldn't go and play with them. I had to do my lessons. So my father opened this music. He said, I want you to play that now, George. You just get on with that. Let's see how we're doing with it. So I put my teacher's music on one side, and I put my father's music on, and I started to play Poet and Peasant. I got so far through Poet and Peasant, and I made some wrong notes, and the next thing I knew, I was thrown from the piano stool, right off the piano stool, flung up against the wall, and I lay there, and I was absolutely knocked out, and I was only, 11 and a half year old, 12 year old. And so my mother came across, and she said, well, that's it, and she pushed the piano lid down. She says, that's it, he either learns the piano, or he learns the cornet, one or the other. So she said to me, ignore my father, she said to me, which would you like to stop on, George? Would you like to keep on with the piano, or would you like to learn the cornet? I said, I'll stay with the piano, Mum. And I remember this minute I'm talking to you, I can remember what the words are. I'll stay at the piano, because I like the piano, Mum. So I stopped playing the cornet, and my mother says, right, you made a decision. Now, would you like to go outside and play with the kiddies? So she said, that stopped.
So your father was the strict disciplinarian?
Very, 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 very strict.
And your mother must have been able to control him.
My mother controlled my father. My father was very loud. He could speak loud, you know. He was boisterous, for sake of finding the word for it. But he was rather keen to see his family get on. Which, I mean, there's a limit to what people can do.
Yes, but they're obviously willing to sacrifice a great deal for the family.
They did, yes.
In spite of
They spent half a crown on me. Being half a crown was a lot of money in those days just to get me the lessons. That's why my mother said, you're going to learn the piano. But I wasn't paying for the corner, because it was my uncle Tom Hatton who was teaching me free of charge. But he was getting me into the band. And I got a not well playing with the cornet. I used to travel around all these, in Birtley's, Kimbledworth, all of the tennis courts, in Saltwood Park, bandstands, and play on there on a Sunday afternoon with the band. And the band leader used to come and give me half a crown when I went out with them.
There's a discipline running through your life. The scouts, the Cubs, band, of course. And discipline was important, obviously.
Well, the discipline, but it was all kept there and kept in the line by the church. To me, the church has just run through my life all the way, right up to this moment. And ever since I went, and I'm not one of these Bible-punching Christians. I believe in the church, and I believe in who's looking after us and what we have to do in this world, even to this day. But I feel that that's what's guided me correctly through the disciplinary state I've had at home.